If you would please join me for today's message in our scripture, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. But I'm not reading it.
That's page 845 in your pew Bible. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him." And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will you give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you so much. Another opportunity, if you are looking to serve within worship, is I would love to invite you to read scripture. I might try to steal it from you as soon as you volunteer, but I will make room. This month, we've been covering a sermon series, Ministry is Calling. That might be with a period, as a statement. It might be the question mark, leaving you a little flustered, a little questioning. It might be an exclamation point of excitement. It might be the comma, you're being called, but wait. We started with, it was important to start with, here I am, figuring out in the first person, what are you bringing to the table? Your weeks, your weaknesses, your strengths, your experience. What makes you you? What passions will be the areas you feel called to serve? And once you figure out I, then you look for there you are. And where can we meet as we bring those skills and talents together, as we find the ones that complement one another? And then we do the we. If you are there and here I am, we better make sure God is a part of the ministry. And that becomes our we focus. They are somewhere. There's a lot of ministry that can happen within here with the I and the you and God. But there's more. There's those who aren't gathered with us today. There are those that we haven't even met yet. They are somewhere. Is it important to minister within? Yes. It is important to minister with your family. It is important to be in ministry with your church family. It is important to be in ministry with other family and friends. But it's also important to be in ministry with everyone, including those out there. But how do we get there? How do we get in ministry with those we don't even know yet? Well, I'm going to give you 5 tips on how we can take the ministry from here to somewhere. All right. Does anyone remember the homework this past week? I'm hoping you did it, because that's our number one. I asked you to invite God at the beginning of your day for 1 minute of just silence, of allowing God to speak to you. In prayer, we're really good at being the ones to talk. We're really good at the ones listing our wants. And then we forget to give room to listen, to let God speak. So our number one for any ministry, prayer. We have to start in prayer. If we're going to make this a we, then we've got to invite God in so that God hopefully will give us the strength, the encouragement, the wisdom, and most important, the direction where we should go. Prayer should always be a beginning point. So how was your homework? I see a lot of confidence stares, which one makes me feel like you're like, oh, I'm going to let her believe I was one of the ones who did it. That's right. I showed up for my minute. Some of you did, and it might have been more uncomfortable than you thought it would be. Anyone have 60 seconds feel like it was like 300 at least? You looked at your phone and you're like, how did it not even change? And some of you, it's okay if you forgot. God and I have a lot of grace. But I do encourage you to develop that prayer life stronger. And I know that not giving a minute of silence doesn't mean you didn't pray. A prayer can be a breath. A prayer can be a word. A prayer can be silence or listening or action. Prayer is a marvelous, marvelous gift that God lets us connect to God at any moment. Start there for the ministry that God's calling you to. All right, go. You have to be willing to go, to move. It's great you're here. It's a great recharging point. It's important to be in community. This is the way we talk to each other and communicate and conversate. A relationship needs both. It needs the communication and it needs the conversation. I promise you, if you are in a household with anyone else or a relationship and you're going to go out of town, I sure hope that you have communicated that and you've shared some of the reasons why and your feelings. That's communication and conversation. Let your prayer like that be to God too. God, I really felt like you were calling me into this ministry. Maybe it's a new mission. Maybe it's a new ministry charity. It's okay to tell God you're scared. It's okay to tell God you're excited. It's okay to tell God if you felt discluded. Allow God to work with you. But if you just sit in this pew, there's a lot of ministry opportunities being missed. You're going to have to be willing to go. And you might even have to be willing to go for different moments of prayer. I love that the Word of God gives so many examples, and sometimes it's just a blurb, sometimes it's just a sentence. Jesus went off and prayed. That allowed Jesus to be in a holy place. Whew, I don't know about you, but if I had crowds after crowds after crowds gathering around me, Susie would need to say, back up. But Jesus always said, come closer. Bring that person in the very back, bring them to the front. Jesus always welcomed. Even when Jesus went off to pray, those needy disciples found him. Hey, Jesus, teach us to pray, like John taught his disciples. Whew. Do you know what I would equal this to in my day? Anyone a parent, been a parent? Those kids, they always find you. Maybe you're just curling up for your favorite TV show. Maybe you're about to have that ice cream you hid in the freezer that they didn't see you buy. And they hear you open that door. They've been asleep for 2 hours, but all of a sudden their nose, they're in the kitchen. And they always want something. You can be in that room with them. 30 minutes, 3 hours, nothing. You go to make one phone call, 60 seconds long, 5 questions. That's how I sometimes see the disciples. Hey, Jesus, we're hungry. These 5,000 people, tell them to go away so that we can go get dinner. Not what Jesus did. And I know some of you are going to start looking at your watch and be like, my tummy's rumbling. It is lunchtime. I hope she wraps this point up soon. She said 5, we're on 2. Oh, goodness. Be willing to go. If that's to go take a quiet moment of prayer, do so. It's not always going to be optimum, but I find prayer in a car wonderful when you're alone. Turn off the radio or turn on a favorite song and just worship God. Maybe it's that beginning hour that you're kind of waking up, enjoying a good cup of coffee, and you just are looking outside. That's a beautiful prayer time. Some of you might have a special chair in your house or even a closet inspired by the war room. Maybe you have a very special place in nature when life has just overwhelmed you to the point and you can go to that place. A trail, a fishing spot, to a nearby pond. All wonderful places to pray. And gathering with you all here and feeling the Holy Spirit moving, there's an excitement and an energy that only comes from community. But some of my biggest prayers have been when I've been in the sanctuary alone and just meeting God in God's house. If you have never experienced that or would like that time, please don't hesitate to call me. I'll go work up in the office or in the fellowship hall and give you a moment to have some just true worship on your own. Be willing to go. And because Jesus was always going to pray and reconnecting with God, when his disciples tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Teach us to pray," Jesus didn't shush him. Didn't send him away. Jesus said, "Come on. This is how you pray." He didn't get angry or impatient. "Have you not seen my ministry? Have you not learned how to pray yet with me?" No. "Come on in. Let's pray." And then taught what we commonly refer to as the Lord's Prayer. It's a little different. John Wesley, when I was doing some research in his notes and his commentary, he said that when the disciples asked Jesus to teach him to pray, it was to look for the signature of Jesus. When he said, like John's disciples, like John did, John taught his disciples a certain kind of prayer. So when you heard it, you would be in like teachings. And so at first hearing this, I was like, that doesn't make sense. But then when you think about the Lord's Prayer, well, a Christian who goes to church is going to follow you. You start it, they will join you. There will be a union already. That's pretty holy. It also will define if you're more on the Protestant side or the Catholic side. For anyone who's never been to a Catholic church and they start saying the Lord's Prayer and you join them loud and proud and you say, "And glory forever," you're the only one saying that. They kind of stopped kind of where the Bible did, pretty much. But see, there is a signature to the prayer. Jesus himself taught us that prayer. Isn't that a holy moment? That a prayer you're saying, Jesus taught you. So we need to start with prayer, and we need to be willing to go. Some of that ministry is happening outside. You might not even know what ministry is calling you. Start thinking of the people who you might consider your characters in your story. Like when you go to the grocery store, maybe there's a cashier you see almost every time, and they always have a smile. They always have a kind word for you. Let them know. Thank you. I've never caught your name. What is going on in your world? That starts the relationship. That gives them ministry. Hey, I notice you in this crazy world of 7 billion people. You matter. Think of those who tell you about a charity that just hits your heart and you don't even know why. But it resounds in you. Follow that up. Learn about it. Miss Kathy's not here, but she lets you know about what's going on in a school because she has witnessed it firsthand for so many years. Those experiences you have laid ministries upon your heart. Maybe you've been a pet lover since you were 5 years old. Maybe you have worked with kids and see their needs. You can build that by sharing that passion with others. Be willing to go. All right, number three is a big one. Listening. You have to listen to the others who are somewhere. They will teach you things you don't know. Who's a good listener? I'm the only one looking. You can put a little just up by your side. Wow, none of you are a good listener. Oh, I didn't look back. Well then, for the majority of you, you really want to listen to this part. There's a difference between active listening and passive listening. Passive listening is hearing. You hear someone talking. You hear music in the background. But if you're listening, you hear the words. You hear the requests. You hear the needs. Yeah. With the music, if you're listening, you can tell from the beats, oh, I love this song. Or maybe the words truly hit your heart. Listening matters. And I'm even going to give you a biblical reference for this one, that it's so important. It is in the Word of God. We're going to go to that book, James, first chapter, verses 19, and I'm going to include 20, but that's not the listening part. Dear brothers and sisters, take note. Everyone. Oh, please let me emphasize that for you. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Everyone, that's everyone, should be quick to listen. That's what James said to take note of. That was the first directive. Be quick to listen. Ooh, and slow to speak. Because active listening is not having the response ready. Active listening is not stealing the words from someone's mouth and rewriting them your way. When somebody goes through a natural disaster, SBA comes in to provide loans so you can replace things, especially if like homes were lost to a flood or to fire, and they will give you a low interest loan to replace the needed items. Now, I know of a story where these adjusters, assessors, came from the South up to the North, northern Minnesota, where it had a huge flood, which destroyed many, 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 many garages and sheds. Lawnmowers, that would be grass, those push mowers, a couple hundred dollars, necessity. Snow blowers that cost thousands of dollars, not a necessity. Well, I understand if you're from Texas why you don't think a snowblower is necessary. But I tell you, anyone from Canada or in those northern states, I promise you they will take a snowblower over a lawnmower any day. Amen. But that's listening to the needs of where someone is. Aren't going to be your needs necessarily. Those collections we do for Operation Child, our hearts are in great places, right? We get excited to shop for them. And what do we think sometimes? Ugh, we see the most darling stuffed animal, right? The one that's just so cushy and whooshy and so cute. And we pick it up. But see, some of these boxes are going where it's really, really dusty. And that laundry is a luxury. That stuffed animal will not last long. Not for the way you intend and hope. See, when we saw it, it was with the best of intentions. This could be their forever pal. It could maybe last a couple weeks, if that. Or we see all those yummy treats that we would want as a kid, that when we got to the gas station and when we run to our parents, like, buy this for me, I need it, I want it. Those gummies and the gum and the chocolate. Whew, I know some of you are chocolate fans. And you want to treat them. But if we send them, and these boxes are stored in very hot facilities, all those gifts will be covered in sticky gummies and sticky chocolate. And our well-thought gift is not used the way intended. And one last example on that, a couple years ago, we collected malaria nets. I think the goal was like 1 million. To help prevent infection, noble cause, wonderful gift, truly life saving endeavor. And we collected that large amount and we sent it over, and lives were saved, but lives were also ruined. Because see, many people over where we sent them, that was their livelihood, was sewing these nets. Not only did we take away their purpose, but how they survive, how they make money to provide for their family. But it was something we could do. We weren't listening to the full need. We were meeting them where we wanted to, not where they needed. And that's why listening is so important. Let us not cut off people's needs to our convenience. Let's hear them all the way out. So we started with prayer. We were willing to go. We're listening. Well, let's kind of think of this as a mountain. Prayer, willing to go, listening up here in the center. So what would kind of be here? Oh, we're going to actually meet them where they are. Over here, we were willing to go. This fourth step, we're actually going. We're actually meeting them where they are because we listened to the needs. So now we can attend to them. And I'm going to give you some scripture for this one. Because sometimes we like to meet people where we want to meet them. Because we want them to do what we do. We want them to worship Jesus the way we do. But that's not always what ministry is about. We're going to go to Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 14, verses 5 through 8. One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone, and none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. All right. Here's some hard truth for you. Ministry isn't about your comfort. And very rarely is ministry about you. Is it sometimes? Yes. Sometimes we need to be the receiver. But often we're asked to be the giver. And that means meeting people where they are. Does it matter if every day is alike and we include God in all of them? Or that others choose to make one day super holy and the whole day is spent in God's reverence? I know many of you who like to dress up to the nines and tens for church, and I respect it. You want to give your best to God. That is a holy way to view it. But in camp days, I'm going to encourage you to dress down, to come as you are, to invite people as they are, because God knows who you are. You don't have to put on any airs. There's nothing wrong with either choice. That you want to give your very best to God because God is worthy, amen, absolutely. Or because God is a God of grace and who is meeting you where you are. Absolutely. It's important to allow God to do the work. When I ask you for prayer requests, I know sometimes that can get a little long, sometimes it gets a little confusing, sometimes it gets a little messy. But ministry is messy. It's supposed to be. Because see, we still come into ministry with our messiness. I'm sure some of you saw some of the flubs happen in worship today. The offering plate literally was tripping over it in the beginning and still couldn't find it. And someone helped me out. I was ready to read the scripture, but I had a gracious volunteer. Because worship is for everyone. And there's different ways for you to participate. And sometimes we're going to have the hiccups and the messiness, but that's still in the glory of God. It just reminds us we are human and that pride comes before the fall. To have the graciousness of humility and to remember we are never in ministry alone. It's important to meet people where they are, including yourself, allowing God to mend the brokenness, allowing God into the messiness, and seeing how God truly makes it a masterpiece. I truly believe this is one of the most beautiful sanctuaries I've had the privilege to be in. The stained glass is stunning, but that comes from a lot of broken pieces coming together, a craftsman spending time to let the pieces form. When I tell you to do ministry, you're going to make mistakes. We're going to send too many malaria nuts. even though it came from the best place possible. God can do a lot with willingness. But that's why you have to be willing to go and then follow through. But that's why that listening aspect is so important. It's going to help take away some of those mistakes. Amen. And we started with prayer. Well, we've hit number 5. Prayer, willing to go, listening, actually going. What do you think this 5th one is? Some of you are whispering it. It's a hint. We've already said it. Prayer. See, if you're going to be in ministry, you better start with prayer. You better end with prayer. You better have been praying in the listening form. See, prayer is what connects us to God very easily in a complicated world. I taught you a short verse last week, John 11:35, for those who struggle memorizing worship. It's 2 words. Who remembers it? Jesus wept in that human moment. What a great verse to remember. That connection to Jesus knowing us on this level. I'm going to teach you another one. The book might be longer than the actual verse. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray continually. And depending on your translation, might be pray without ceasing, pray continuously, but be in prayer every day, everywhere. And if that seems daunting, if that seems like, oh, I haven't done that, here's the good news. God has a lot of grace. And in the United Methodist Church, we are always striving towards excellence. Perfection is a pretty intense goal. But if you are striving to excellence, if you are willing and listening, how God can move mountains with you. Will you be willing to meet others where they are? It can be hard. It can definitely be humbling. And how do you know if you truly are in a God ministry? I'm going to give you 2 examples. If it is flawless, if it is easy, if it seems just perfect in your comfort zone, and if you pray to God and God says, you know what, you are forgiven, you don't even need to check in with me, we're good. Okay, you're not praying to God. Or you're definitely not listening to the other part of that. Because God will sometimes take your confession and say, sit down, take a rest. It's been a long journey. And allow others to minister to you. But see, what happens then is God comes knocking and says, hey, it's time to serve. You've been rested. You've been taken care of. You understand what it feels like to receive ministry. Now it's time to go. Meeting someone where they are, Jesus continued in that Luke gospel, if someone asks for an egg, are you going to give them a scorpion? I hope not. It's probably a lot easier to give them the egg. And Jesus talked about how someone comes knocking on the door at midnight. I have a guest. I have no bread. I need bread. But see, it was inconvenient. It wasn't the time someone was ready to do ministry. You're probably not going to be rested. You're probably not going to have all the resources you need. You might not even have all the skills. But ministry is going to come knocking. And you might try to pass them off. Oh, I'm in bed. My children are in bed. There's no way I could help you. Now, see, if I'm the person who's knocking on the door and the bread's just for me, I'm good. I'm done. You said you couldn't help me. I'm going home. Ah, but if I was asking bread for another. I'm sorry, I don't think you heard me. I have a guest and they need bread. Do you have any? And they didn't get up because they were friendly. They got up because I was persistent. Sometimes when we gather, we have to be persistent for those who don't have the voices, for those who've been asking and pleading and crying out. No one was hearing them. Sometimes you will be their voice. Sometimes you will be their hands and feet to help them get back up. Sometimes you have to be willing to be the annoying one. Can you help my friend? I had already picked on Kathy once. You know why she has no trouble asking you for the students? Because she's seen the students who did without. She sees the students who come in hungry. She sees the students who come in need of compassion. You may have been exposed to different people who are in need. Maybe you were in need at one time. And God has put that plight on your heart. Are you willing to listen? Are you willing to meet them where they are? Are you making room for prayer so that you can understand that ministry is calling? My closing prayer comes from our book of worship. It's for others. Strong, covenant God, save us from being self-centered in our prayers and teach us to remember to pray for others. May we be so bound up in love with those for whom we pray that we may feel their needs as acutely as our own, and intercede for them with sensitiveness, with understanding, and with imagination. This we ask in Christ's name. Amen. Those were based on words from John Calvin. Here's the homework for this week. Pray for others. Seek out those in your life. Maybe you haven't had a real conversation in a while. Or maybe it's someone in the peripheral. Listen to what they're saying and pray for them.